victory in Jesus. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save our wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of the cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he's built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the songs of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Beautiful singing. Our scripture reading is Jeremiah 12, verses 5 and 6. It says, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace in which you have trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? For even your brothers, the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. Yes, they have called a multitude after you. Do not believe them, even though they speak smooth words to you. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Let's continue with our victory theme today as we sing hymn number 413, Faith is the Victory. Hymn number 413. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foes and veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road with with saints above, with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind breath swept on our every field. Faith is the victory, but still our shining shield. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory. To him who overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in him. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith. Full 269. The reason why we have victory is because Jesus walks with us. He talks with us and he's with us. And so in the garden, hymn number 269, we'll sing the first and the third stanzas of this one. I come to the garden alone while the dew thank you so much. Once again, welcome to Bible Christian Church. We do like to start with birthdays. We know that Katie has a birthday today, and we'll sing to her in her absence and let her know. Sing loud enough for her to hear you in Plainsburg. Anybody else have a birthday this week or coming up? Sounds good. Make sure you like and follow or whatever. Yes, Tanya. Liam is 16? Wow. Congratulations. Yes?
My husband's birthday is
on Tuesday. Okay. Any others? You have a birthday coming up? When's your birthday?
October
what? 20th. Oh, all right. We'll sing happy birthday. You may not be here in October, so. Yes?
My dad in Houston.
Okay. All right, let's sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Any anniversaries? All right, lots of announcements today. Tonight is a balloon night in Awana. We do want to thank everybody who chipped in and volunteered and helped with our Grand Prix last Sunday night. It was one of the better ones we've had in a long. It was just great. We had a great time, and thank you for Carol and John doing nachos, Liz doing popcorn, and we just had a. It was a really great time. So we thank you for that. But tonight is regular night, 5 o'clock balloon night. We will be back in our Titus study at 6:30 tonight, and we're still in Job on Wednesday night at 6:30. There's a deacons meeting tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. There's also some handouts for our sunrise service. It's coming up. I think it's just in like 3 weeks in the day, two, 3 weeks. And so we got a busy schedule. This coming Saturday is the men's breakfast at Planada Community. The following Saturday is Nineveh. And the Saturday after that is the weekend of our sunrise service. So there are some flyers if you want to get them up, put them up in different places. 6 o'clock, and that's going to be at Don and Dolores' house. So there's directions there on that handout. So that is great. We encourage you to do that. Also, there's some handouts here if for our senior brown bag. So there's a senior brown bag both here and in Planada. If you're 55 and older or disabled, and you just bring an identification showing you live in the ground, it's every other Friday. And so we have some schedules here that when they're going to be the second and fourth Friday of every month. And so if you know anybody who needs it in the community or you need it, let them know that that is also available. And I think that is it. So any other announcements think I'm missing? Yes. Yeah, in the foyer, there's a sign-up sheet just for eggs or different things that you may want to bring that day. And Jim's been working on Jackie and Matt are going to be doing some grilling. And Louie, if he's able to, is going to come out. And so we're getting all that scheduled. But there's some items like butter and syrup and things like that if you want to bring. So we'll go sunrise service at the Clintons, and afterwards we'll come back here for pancakes. And then there'll still be a regular 10 a.m. service that morning for Easter for Easter Day. So thank you for that. Anything else? Yes?
I'm doing Easter bags for the kids. If anyone would like to donate toys, stickers, candy, whatever, I'll be doing those up the Saturday before Easter, and I'm doing approximately 20.
Sounds good. All right, let's have Silas come, and we'll go to worship at this time. We encourage you to stand for worship. If you prefer to be seated, you're more than welcome to do so.
Darkness closes in, Lord, still name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. Give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Love endures forever. For the life that has been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever. From the rising to the setting sun, His love endures forever. By the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. For my soul longs and even faints for you. For here my heart is sad. are courts, thousands elsewhere. One thing I ask, and I would see, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts, thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts, thousands elsewhere. My heart and flesh cry out for you, the living God. Your spirit's water for my soul. I've tasted and I've seen. Come once again to me. I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts, thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts, thousands elsewhere. Better is one day. Better is one day. Better is one day than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day. Better is one day. Better is one day than thousands elsewhere. Thousands elsewhere.
Please be seated at this time.
Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness.
Heavenly Father, Lord, as we sing these songs and remember the greatness of you, of your faithfulness, Lord, that while we were unfaithful to you, Lord, you remained faithful to us, Lord. In your mercy and in your grace, you redeemed us, and you love us unconditionally, Lord. I just pray that these simple songs that we've sung, this simple psalm right here would be a reminder of just the amazing greatness, Lord, of your steadfast love to us, Lord, that we would be in awe and appreciation of that every day of our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Silas. Children's Church, you're dismissed at this time. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 11. Jeremiah chapter 11. So, a little different today with the book of Jeremiah. It takes a little bit different of a turn. Last week we talked about the covenants and Jeremiah's message. And things are not going well for Jeremiah. He's already told by God that the people are not going to listen to him. They're not going to turn. And his message is very negative. You're going to be taken captive. Babylon's coming. And so things are not going so well. And then they get worse. And so my question to you this morning before we start is, don't answer it out loud, but just think to yourself, on a scale of 1 to 10, how hard are things going for you right now? As a Christian in 2024, just as a human being in 2024, you know, things, you know, we were just talking yesterday about there seems to be a big increase in prices as you go grocery shopping and you do different things and gas and food. And, you know, we went to get a $5 take and go Little Caesars pizza. They don't exist anymore. They're now $9.99. What's going on with the world? So I want you to think about how hard life can seem to be. And so in verse 18 of chapter 11, Jeremiah says, "The Lord gave me knowledge of it, and I know it, for you showed me their doings. But I was like a docile lamb brought to slaughter. I did not know that they devised schemes against me, saying, 'Let us destroy the tree with its fruits, and let us cut him off from the hand of the living, that his name may be remembered no more.'" So Jeremiah says here that God gave him knowledge of a plan and a plot and a scheme to kill him. That the response of his message was not only was it ignored, not only was it not listened to, but now they want him dead. So his trials have just increased greatly. In fact, it says he was like a docile lamb brought to slaughter. Reminds me of another lamb that was bled to slaughter. Who was that lamb? Jesus Christ. And so it's an interesting thing that the persecution that he is facing. In fact, it says to let us destroy the tree with its fruit in verse 19, and let his name be remembered no more. And this is the scheme and plan of Satan from the very beginning. From the times when the firstborn were all threatened to the times when the apostles and the prophets were thrown in jail and many martyred to today around the world. The Bible says in Romans 1:18 that unrighteous men will suppress the truth. And so if you want to really know what the truth is in the universe, there's a lot of different truths out there, a lot of different opinions. But try to notice the one that's being suppressed the most. The one that's being hid the most is probably the one that is the truth. And that would be the gospel. And so we think of what Jeremiah is going through. And it's really not any different than what some of our brothers and sisters in Christ go through all over the world. The name of Jesus is being suppressed. Satan does not want it out there. In verse 20, he says, "But O Lord of hosts, you who judge righteously, testing the mind and the heart, let me see your vengeance on them. For to you I have revealed my cause." God, can you stop them? Not let them kill me? Can you protect me? God, can you help me? You know, we've been praying for the Simon family, Linda, a dear friend of ours, and very humbly in a small village in Mexico, helping her pastor husband start a church that is growing. And the whole town has been chased out by cartel. And they're right now, not just the Simon family, but all the families of that community, looking for help. Why? Well, because Satan hates the name of God being shared. But God tells us, as he was the docile lamb, in fact, they did kill Jesus and thought that would shut him up for a while, till 3 days later, when he rose from the dead. John 15:18 says this, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember," John 15:20 says, "the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." This is an interesting verse because of the bottom part of it. When Jesus spoke, was he well received? No. They beat him, they scourged him, they spit on him, they nailed him to a cross. And if our goal is to have a 5,000 person church, we would have to compromise so much for the world to love us. We're not of the world. Marvel not that the world hates you. Jesus says, look it, if they persecuted me, guess what? They're going to persecute you, unless you're not talking about them. If you're not going to talk about Jesus and not going to share your faith, the world will probably leave you alone. They would appreciate that if you would just be quiet. But if you're going to stand for Christ, you can expect some. However, not only will the persecution, but some people kept his word. Some people followed the Lord. And so you can not only expect persecution and criticism, but you can also expect to be a part of transforming people's lives for Christ. So why don't we stay a part of it? Well, how did God answer Jeremiah? Look at verse 21. It says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the men of Anathoth who seek your life, saying, do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, lest you die by our hands." He says, concerning those people who want to kill you, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I'll punish them. The young men will die by the sword, their sons and their daughters shall die in famine, there shall be no remnant of them, for I will bring catastrophe on the men of Anathoth, even in the year of their punishment." Don't worry, Jeremiah, I got this. You will be protected. They will not kill you. I will guard them and guard you from them. Psalm 118:5 says this, "I called the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me, set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me." Does that go the same today? Has God changed at all? God will bring protection. Matthew 10:27 says this, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Jesus says, look, go to the housetops. Talk about me. He's not talking about in your house. He's talking about on top of your house. And preach the word. And don't worry about those who kill the body. Worry about the one who takes your soul. And there are so many that trade eternity for present acceptance and the lack of persecution and wanting to get along with everybody. And we do, you know, we For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We'll talk about that later. We're not in a fight with non-Christians. It's not Christians against non-Christians. Our response to non-Christians is to pray for them, love them, feed our enemy, give them the drink, and pray that they will turn to Christ. The enemy is somewhere in the principalities and darkness. But 1 John 4:4 says this, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world." So our fight is not with flesh and blood, but principalities and rulers of darkness. And that's good, because we have within us the Spirit who is greater than he that's in the world. So we have a victory in Christ. We have God protecting us, God guarding us. And that's what God promises Jeremiah. But then in chapter 12 of Jeremiah, Jeremiah has a question for God. And you may have asked this question before to God. "Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Yet let me talk with you about your judgment. Why does the way of the wicked prosper?" Why does the way of the wicked prosper? That ever crossed your mind? Seems like we're losing sometimes. Seems like evil is winning. Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? God, why? It's a common question. It's an okay question to ask. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." So we can go to God with these questions. Jeremiah is not being disrespectful. And there are a lot of things about this world I don't understand. A lot of things about this world I'm curious about. But if we go to God who gives to us liberally without reproach, meaning he won't reproach you, and he gives to you liberally. I always think about when my had an odd childhood. And one of the things that happened in our home, because I had a brother and sister that had a disease called cystic fibrosis. And they were always in their last year. The doctors always said, "Well, we don't think they're going to make it this year. We don't think they're going to make it." So my brother's birthday was December 26th. So every Christmas, my parents would max out their credit cards and have an amazing, anything we wanted, we got for Christmas. Because it was always going to be the last Christmas. And so it was a celebration of my brother and sister making it through another year. And so, so we had a thing where we would go to, I mean, this is going to age me, but there was a store called White Front. Anybody remember White Front? Oh boy, that's an old store. Anyway, it's basically a Target before Target was Target. But we would go into White Front and we would go to the toy section and we would pick out the toys we wanted for Christmas. But we could not ask for anything because my parents didn't have very much money. This was simply going into the promised land and spying it out and seeing the milk and honey and picking out what we wanted and making a list. But I remember one day, my mother was particularly having a bad day, and my brother Tim, who was always the one, he says, "Oh, Mom, can I have this?" And all I remember is, she would have probably been arrested today, but she took him by the hair, and then we were leaving White Front, and she did not let go after she smacked him in the back of the head, took him by the hair, and dragged him out. You see, my mother didn't have the same response as God. She did not give liberally without reproach. She gave reproach. And so sometimes I'm afraid to go to God to ask for things. God, I know I've asked you for this 50 times already. But God says, "I'll never reproach you. You can come ask me these questions." So whatever you're going through, whatever the life is throwing at you, it's not a sin to go to God and ask for help. Sometimes you want to show God that we can get through it without him. That's the very opposite of what he wants you to do. So Jeremiah continues in verse 2 of chapter 12. You planted them. Yes, they've taken root. They've grown. They bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind. Verse 3, but O Lord, you know me. You've seen me. You've tested my heart towards you. Put them out like sheep for slaughter. God, would you finally take care of these people? What are you going to do? How long will the Lord mourn and herbs of the field wither, the beasts of birds consumed for the wickedness of those who dwell there? Because they said he will not see our final end. God, they're standing proudly against you saying, oh, God's not going to do anything to us. We have no fear. But there's an answer to this. Psalm 37:9 says this, evildoers will be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, the wicked will be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it will be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. If you read all of Psalm 37, it's just a psalm about patience. Fret not because of evildoers. They will be cut off, and the righteous will shine as the noonday. The Lord's coming back. Everything's going to get fixed someday. They came to Jesus in 2 Peter and they asked him a question. They said, you know, where is the promise of his coming? They went to Peter. Where? I thought Jesus is coming back. Have you ever asked that question? I mean, we've been hearing for decades that we're in the end times, right? And you better get that silo ready and have your food packed away and get your water because the Lord's coming at any time. And that's true. He's coming at any time. And they asked the same question 2,000 years ago. Here was God's answer in 2 Peter 3:8. He says, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God says, look, I'm not slack concerning my promise. I'm coming back. But I'm long-suffering, not willing any should perish. Someone's going to get saved today, somewhere in this world. And whoever that person is will be thankful Jesus didn't come back yesterday. And so here's the real foundation of this lesson. So Jeremiah says, God, I need your help. This is hard. They're not listening to me. They want to kill me. Can you just get rid of them? Take them away. Can you take my problems away? I don't think anybody here would not go to God with that request. Some of us are going through some hard things. I know you are. Which brings us to verse 5 and 6. The key verses of the day, and if you will grasp these two verses, I really believe they can be life-changing. He says to Jeremiah in verse 5, if you have run with the footmen and they wearied you, how can you contend with the horses? And if the land of peace in which you trusted, they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? Well, what in the world does that verse mean? It means very simple. Simply, it means this. Things are going to get harder. If this is too hard for you, you need to be prepared. Let's look at that again. If you've run with the footmen and they've wearied you, how are you going to contend with the horses? Jeremiah has not begun to go through the trials he's going to go through. He says, "And if you in the land of peace in which you trusted, they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan?" Well, what's that mean? Well, let me show you Jeremiah 49:19. It says, "Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the floodplain of the Jordan against the dwelling place of the strong." It's an interesting little verse. But there's a place called the floodplain of the Jordan, and it's just that. It's a place that floods. And when it floods into the jungle areas, and lions and other dangerous animals flee the water, and it becomes very dangerous. And so what God is simply saying, things are pretty peaceful for you now compared to how they're going to get. And if you can't handle this, Jeremiah, then what's coming is going to absolutely crush you. And so let's think of it this way. I enjoy Sunday mornings. I hope you enjoy Sunday mornings. But nobody's going to arrest you today for being here. That is very unusual in the world today. We don't live in the floodplain. We don't have the horsemen and the lions coming after us. We may have people call us names. We may have people want us not to be here. We may have people that want us to be quiet. But none of you are going to jail today because you hold a Bible in your hand. That is not the case around the world. And it may not always be the case in our nation. I don't know if things are going to get better or worse. But I know that other nations who used to send missionaries here, you can now be arrested in those nations. There's a website called persecution.com that I would encourage you to go to. It's the Voices of Martyrs Ministry. And they have some statistics, and the main focus is to let people know about prayer requests around the world. In 2023, there were 4,998 known murders of Christians for their faith around the world. There were 14,766 churches and Christian properties that were either attacked, vandalized, or destroyed. And there are currently, as far as Voices of Martyrs knows, 4,125 Christians in jail at this time because of their faith. There were two young Pakistani men who were arrested, and they're on trial right now because they broke what's called in Pakistan the blasphemy laws. They spoke against Muhammad, spoke for Christ. You will not be arrested today. But these men are standing trial. If they are found guilty, they will be killed. That's the death sentence. I want to read you a couple of quotes, if you'll bear with me. This is from a young woman in Vietnam. Her name is, I think it's Xuan. It's X-U-A-N. And she was asked to renounce her faith and refrain from telling others about Jesus. She was heavily persecuted by the local authorities, and they included her livestock being taken away and putting her family's livelihood at risk. Here's what she says. They warned me to stop evangelizing, but they can't stop me, she says. They cannot stop the gospel from being shared. Many of the Christians in my village became believers because I was stubborn. Sometimes I visited people in their houses at night. In other cases, I set up a time to meet with them who live a little farther. I drove my motorbike to meet them. I do this because I love them. I will not forsake my mission, my calling. Even if the authorities catch me, I will do everything. They can't stop me. Even if they kill me, I know I'm going to die for the Lord. She's running with the lions. She is running with the horses. In Ethiopia, there's a older man. His name is Bedru. His story is, they saw a Bible in my hands. As soon as they saw that Bible, harsh persecution started. Harsh indeed, including the destruction of his family home and their coffee plantation. Despite this, the family's faith is resolute. Bedru says, there is nothing that can take me back from continuing this journey with Jesus. Tibai and Rosa, his wife and 15-year-old daughter, are equally determined. When Tibai faces pressure from her family, she tells them, what God gives me is much better than what you ever promised me. And in response to intimidation from friends, Rosa, a 15-year-old, says, I have the Lord, he will take care of me. we are not running with the lions here. We are not running with the horsemen. And when you read that verse, the reason it's life-changing is because it's not so bad here as we worship in complete freedom. It's worse than it's been, and not as bad as it could possibly get. And so we need Christ's strength. We need him because it's going to get harder. Turn, if you will, to Philippians 4, 6 through 9. We'll read these together. These are important verses. Because here's where we're going to take this sermon now. We can be overwhelmed by the hardness of life. And what God's response to Jeremiah was, Jeremiah, it's going to get harder. So until it does, just trust in me, I got this. For us, we have to remember, no matter what we're going through at this point, it could get worse. And there's a commandment of God in Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. That's what Jeremiah is doing. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So God says, here's the secret to getting through hard times. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Verse 9 says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. A lot of time it's just simply what we're focusing on. And things have been particularly tough in different areas of our lives and your lives. But many times I choose to think on the trials and the troubles, and I don't think on the things that are lovely and good and great. We ought to be so thankful that we are not going to get arrested today because someone sees us carry a Bible outside of this building. And that is very unusual. If you take the world as a whole spectrum, if you go to thepersecution.com, you can see most of the countries you will be arrested. The majority of countries you will be arrested for having a Bible in your hand. People would, in those nations, would do anything to be able to come and worship with us without fear. We ought to be thankful for that. We ought to praise God for that. And sometimes I think about how hard things are getting. And the people in other nations would look at me and say, boy, you are, if you can't walk with the footmen, how are you going to handle the horses? That really convicted me. Remember Elijah? He had just had great victory over Baal, and then Jezebel threatened to kill him, and he ran into the wilderness and said, God, I'm all alone. There's no one else. I want to die. And God said, Elijah, as he fed him through the ravens, took care of him, comforted him, and then said, I got 7,000 more just like you. But he's not focused on the victory. He was focused on the defeat. Colossians 3:1 says, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden in Christ. When Christ who is in our life appears, and you will appear with him in glory. That's the secret. Are you going to set your mind on how terrible things are here? Or are you going to set your mind on God who's at the right hand of God making intercession for you? Thank him for the freedom we have to preach and to worship and to sing and to share the gospel. We have got it made in 2024 compared to how it could be. So we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. Let's go back to Jeremiah 12. We'll complete this. I haven't got to the best part yet. So verse 6, he tells Jeremiah some information Jeremiah didn't know. Even your brothers, the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. They've called a multitude after you. Do not believe them, even though they speak smooth words to you. He says, Jeremiah, I've been protecting you the whole time. Even your own family wants you dead. You think God protects you from things? Yeah. We have no idea how many times. Then God, from verses 7 through 12 and 13, he just gives Jeremiah a little bit of insight to what he's doing. He says, I forsaken my house. I have left my heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of their enemies. So here's what's happening. Just so you know, that the reason why it seems like the wicked are victorious and my people are not is because they turned away from me. They should have known better. Amen? We got it good. We're going to heaven. They can take everything away from you, but they can never take your salvation, can never take your faith. And so that's what he's saying. He goes on up until verse 12. Let's look at that one. He's just explaining all that he's got it in control. The plunderers have come and all the desolate heights in the wilderness, for the sword of the Lord shall devour from one end of the land to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. The sword of the Lord. What is the sword of the Lord, by the way? It's the word of God. And when God says anything, there's victory there. They've sown wheat but reaped thorns. They put themselves into pain but no profit. Don't be ashamed of your harvest because of the fierce anger of the Lord. So be not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. People are going to want you to be ashamed. They're going to question you. They're going to persecute you. But you will not be arrested today. Praise God for that. And then he closes this chapter. And I talked to Liz about this yesterday. I talked to Pastor Rick about this. Because I want to make sure I got this right. And I think I have it right. This is incredible what we're about to read. All right? So follow along with me. And I'll get you out of here in a few minutes. Thus saith the Lord. Against all my evil neighbors who touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. So who's he talking to? All the evil neighbors. Who are the evil neighbors? They are these wicked neighbors. Remember Jonah, he goes to Nineveh, but he doesn't want to go to Nineveh. But God makes him go to Nineveh, and he tells Nineveh, boy, if you just turn to God, he'll forgive you. And Nineveh does what? They turns to God, and Jonah gets all mad. Why? Because they don't like him. Doesn't want them to turn, because he's wrestling against flesh and blood, do you see? So God says here, to my evil neighbors, behold, I will pluck them out of their land, pluck out the house of Judah from among them. So evil neighbors, I'm going to take Jerusalem out, Judah out, to Babylon. Then it shall be after I pluck them out that I will return and have compassion on them and bring them back, everyone to his heritage and everyone to his land. So isn't that what God does? Takes Judah out, puts them in Babylon. They're there for how long? 70 years. God takes them and he what? Brings them back. That's Ezra and Nehemiah. Now watch this next verse. It doesn't work for me, but it's right. It shall be, if they will learn carefully the ways of my people, to swear by my name as the Lord lives, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then they shall be established in the midst of my people. So when I bring my people back, if they, the enemies, will learn carefully the ways of my people and swear by my name with the same vigor and passion they swore by Baal, then I'll establish them in the midst of my people. God is offering salvation to the enemies. God, aren't you going to take care of them, destroy them? Jeremiah, it's going to get worse. But I got this. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to bring vengeance. But before that happens, my people are going. But I'm going to bring them back. And any of these Babylonians that decide they want to follow my way, they'll be among my people. There's a very famous Babylonian who did turn to God. Do you remember his name? Nebuchadnezzar. The king of Babylon, who God took into the wilderness, turned into a beast until he surrendered to God. This is the most gracious, merciful thing that God could ever do. You talk about loving your enemies. So he says to Jeremiah, yes, I'm going to take care of the evil. But before I do, I want to give them a chance. Because whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be. There's neither Jew nor Greek, rich nor poor. It's open to everyone. But, verse 17, if they do not obey, I will utterly pluck them up and destroy that nation, says the Lord. This is a conditional promise. And all you have to do is you go back to verse 16. Anyone who swears by my name, because there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we once be saved. It's always about the name of Jesus. Romans 10:13, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 1 John 5:4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. If I ask you this question today, your whole eternity is determined on your answer to this question. And the question is, who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say that he is? Peter's answer was, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you say, well, he's a story my parents tell me and force me to listen to when I come to church, you're in trouble. And your life needs to be changed. If you say, I'm not sure who he is, I thank God that you're here. But if you say, oh, he's my Savior, he's my Lord, he is the Son of God who died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day, and whoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life, then God bless you, you're going to heaven. It's not how many times you go to church, it's not how loud you sing, it's not how much money you donate. It's who you say Jesus is. Jesus, and God says, anybody who swears by my name, I don't care if you're a Babylonian or an Israelite. It all comes to the name of God. 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of the law, sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Because if you trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then no one will pluck you out of his hand. That's victory. That's why these brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world who have no doubt that Jesus Christ is real, no doubt that he's their Savior, they can stand against the horsemen. And if your faith is that strong, then when the horseman comes and the floodplains come, you will stand. Because you'll stand through him, not for him. He'll do it for you. Last two verses. Look at these verses. They're tremendous. Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's pretty good. That's a refrigerator verse right there. Just put it right there in your magnet. Romans 8:37, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We worship in freedom today. We're going to take a moment. We're not going to sing as we close. We're going to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, including the Simons and other families who are running with the lions. We're not. And I know it's very kind of in season for you to have so many problems that you post it all over the world so people can, let's change that attitude. Let's be thankful for the freedom that we have. Let's be thankful. We're going to put posters up in town about a sunrise service inviting the community to come. Can you believe we get to do that? It's not against the law yet. It may be coming. but so far. And then take the issues that you have in your life and go to God who gives it to you liberally without reproach, and ask God to take them away. You can do that. He may not, because they may be good for you and you don't know it. So we're going to have just a moment of silence for you to pray, and then I'm going to close and pray for the persecuted Christians around the world. Heavenly Father, I do come to you, Lord, kind of asking forgiveness for feeling like I'm running sometimes with the horsemen, and I'm not, Lord. It is a beautiful nation we live in that allows us the freedom to worship you. So, Lord, let us take this time to lay our burdens at the altar and ask you to remove them from us, Lord, that we might be free to preach and worship and share the gospel. And Lord, we lift up Zwan and Berdu and these two young men who have been arrested in Pakistan, Lord, and multiple others. I pray for the Simon family, Lord, that you would set them in the place you want them to be, Lord, and protect them. Father, we pray, Lord, for the persecuted, those who are being arrested, and families who have lost loved ones because of their stand for Christ, Lord. We know that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. We are more than conquerors. And Lord, help us to have the same courage, Lord. I get concerned about that with my own life, Lord. I don't have that courage gene, that Lord, but I do have the Holy Spirit, knowing that, Father, when that time comes and the horsemen come to the door, Lord, that we would be bold and brave. Lord, we pray that through the Holy Spirit, God. Again, protect our brothers and sisters around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here today.